Welcome to the Six Ways to Sunday podcast, hosted by award-winning television director, documentary filmmaker, author, and speaker Craig D. Forrest. Join Craig for the next few minutes as he interviews leaders, artists, and creatives about trends and insights shaping our digital world and faith-based media. This podcast is produced and brought to you by Matchstick Media International. Now, here's Craig.
I have a wonderful guest on our podcast, Six Ways to Sunday podcast today, John Rawls, who's a media executive, missions media executive. Welcome to the podcast, John.
Thanks. I really appreciate being on here.
Yeah, I'm in Europe now. This is where I'm based. John is in Tennessee. You know what? I don't know where you're originally from. Where are you originally from, John?
I grew up in Missouri, and my wife grew up in Iowa. So we're Midwestern United States people.
There you go. And when before we came on to do the interview and to record, John and I talked a little bit. When I was coming out of high school, I won a prestigious journalism award, and my wonderful journalism teacher said, "I think you should go to the University of Missouri," which had then and even now one of the strongest journalism programs in all of America, University of Missouri at Columbia. And that's where you went, yeah?
Yeah, I did. I didn't study journalism. I studied communication, but there was a lot of overlap between the two departments, and great professors really appreciated my time there.
Now, did you get your bachelor's there? I think you got a graduate degree. How did that work?
Yeah, I did my undergrad at Central Christian College of the Bible, and so did 4 years of Greek and preaching and ministry and those kind of specialties. And then went into ministry and decided that I wanted to continue my education. Got an opportunity to teach back at my alma mater, but obviously that required going and getting my graduate degree. So thankfully, the University of Missouri allowed me to go there and got to study communication, which has helped me for my whole career.
Did you think when you got a master's degree in communication, because you also, we're going to talk about missions in just a second, that it would come full circle and that you use it now in ways you never expected?
Oh, I had no idea. And that's been the fun part of all of this journey, is that each step builds on the previous one, but I couldn't have planned it. It's obviously something that the Lord has been able to use and direct. And it's opened doors by doing it. But I think in research and literature, just media, all of that, that maybe it's not technically Christian. It's not done by somebody that's a Christian, but doesn't mean it's not true. It's not valuable. And so, in fact, I probably spend most of my time in those kind of arenas trying to learn and glean from it to leverage it for the work we do. And yeah, the University of Missouri was fantastic for that. So I had no idea, but I'm very thankful for it.
There you go. John is part and is the founder of a group called Kavanaugh Media. We'll talk about that in a minute. I know, and by the way, ni hao ma, hao hao.
Yeah.
Xie xie. Oh, kashie. That's all I know. I know just enough to get one from item one, item two, and item three at the Chinese restaurant, unless it's Cantonese speaking. You went off for 10 years to the country of Taiwan. How did that work? I mean, what was the draw to get you there?
So I was teaching and went on a short-term mission trip with some students of mine. And then my wife and I, and at that time we had two boys, young boys, they were really young at age, went with me. And we stayed afterwards for about a month afterwards working there. And actually had a guy come up to me who said, "The Lord told us that you were supposed to come to Taiwan." And I laughed and said, "Well, I wish he would tell me that." But it was one of those things where I had traveled. I used to be in the military, so I've been all around the world. But there was something about, and there still is, something about Taiwan that just really touched our heart. And the other thing that guy said to me that night was, "In America, you are one person, but your impact here can be far greater than just one." And so it began a journey of us deciding, is that what the Lord wanted? It was. We recruited a team. We had to come off the field for a short period of time and for some medical stuff. but was able to go back and finish our time there and finish well, I think, and be able to really turn the page into the next chapter. And so, yeah, we had five families that worked with us. We did church planning work there. We leveraged media, especially video production type of stuff while we were there in Taiwan, really talented team. And so what we found was that we were using media in the high schools actually to help teach English using Christian principles. And we found some really great local Taiwanese influencers, superintendent of school, people like that, that were believers. And they just help use our material and get it out there. And so we've kind of been using media and the marketing stuff for a lot of years now, actually.
When you, what years were you there? What decade were you in Taiwan?
So we moved there in 1994 is when we moved to Taiwan. And then let me take that back, 2004. So the early 2000s when we moved there. And we came back, we've been back in the States now about 7 years. So early 2000s was that time period when we were there.
That was in the 2000s, 2004 forward to, you know, 7 years from now or back from here.
Yeah.
Those were exciting times because digital media was really arcing up then. And you had a lot of possibilities that were just coming on the horizon.
Yeah, it was a wild west at that time. Things that we could do then that you just can't do. And in fact, in some ways, it was a wild west and things were changing a lot then. But the speed of change now seems to be even faster. It's more restrictive, but it's changing more now than it did even then. But yeah, it was a really exciting time. I mean, just I'll give you an example to it, Craig. We would be able to target down to almost any block in a city street. And there were just things that we could do to really try to get the right message in front of the right person that from a security, a privacy part. Yeah, I get it. I understand why it's changed, but it was really a pretty exciting times. And really, that hasn't changed too much until about the last 3 or 4 years ago when it started to become more of an issue and the changes started happening. Now with in EU and GDPR and so many other issues and things going on, it's changing a lot. AI would be another one that's causing the change to happen very, very quickly.
I don't know enough about Taiwan to be anywhere near knowledgeable about where they were and where they are now with media. But at that time, was Taiwan pretty cutting edge? How did that work?
Yeah, it really is. It was and it still is. And, I mean, from a technological standpoint, most of the technology is crafted in that area, or the R&D part at least is done there, not just in media, and actually in a lot of areas. Taiwan leads when it comes to technology. But for us, even like with, let's say, shooting and the cameras we were using, we were shooting all Canon glass. Well, we could get that. We could get anything we needed. There's actually a place where we, close to where we lived, that was almost like a shopping mall just for equipment. And wow. Anything that's made, you could go in there and you could find it. Any cutting edge thing, lighting, microphones, audio equipment, whatever you would need. And so you have all of that capability. You have really talented, smart people that live in Taiwan that are able to help you and help, whether it be programming or the media part. And then you just had this brand new social media landscape that was just beginning at that time period. And you combine all those together. And yeah, it was a really great time. And it continues. Technologically, Taiwan continues to lead with chip production and so many other areas.
One of my greatest challenges across the world, maybe it is for you as well, with your work with Kevin on media, is working with leaders. It's sort of like a colleague friend of mine, Phil Cook, says that if a leader was born before 1980, there is a good chance that maybe they're not quite up to how everything is progressing quickly and where it's at. When you were working in the 2000s into the next decade, the 2010s, were leaders adapting and adopting media, or was it a struggle?
No, they weren't adopting it. And I don't think in the realm that we work in, things were forced upon people because of the pandemic. So leveraging video, thinking through what does it mean to go online, in what ways can you evangelize or disciple or leadership development or church formation? How does digital and technology help with that? Nobody was really thinking too much about it. I mean, there were people that would put, they had a website, or maybe they were streaming their church service or whatever, but there was really no recognition. And so we could walk in both from a research standpoint, say, well, here's how many people say that they're a Christian in your country, or this is how many people that are watching this type of video or whatever it might be. And that really opened eyes and opened doors for us to be able to partner and serve mission organizations. But when the pandemic hit, that's really what has, I think, spearheaded the change. And for leaders to see, we've got to figure this out, and we have to do something with it. So that part has been more in the last just few years.
My experience trying to consult a bit during the pandemic with COVID was that the ministries and churches that were already pretty strong with media adapted much more quickly to COVID. They just changed the avenue of how they did it, as opposed to churches that one Sunday they're preaching to a congregation, the next Sunday it's empty pews. Did you find that too?
Yeah, when the global lockdown began, if we could have had more hours in a day, we would have used it. We were working 18 hours a day for the mission teams around the world that we were already getting to serve. It just took off. And demand then did as well. I mean, we've been doubling almost every year since as far as teams and growth. But those who are already actively in it were okay. They still had a lot of challenges of moving beyond just the sage on the stage, one person talking, to even thinking through, how do you develop your sermons, and how might you cut those up, and where are you placing it? Is this a YouTube? Is this, where are people consuming your content? Because that's going to determine the length and how you do it, to the headlines that you use and the way that you package it together. So even those who were doing it had things to learn. I think those who were already had, less of a challenge. But there's been churches that I've then worked with and organizations who I'm trying to help people shift the way they think. And I do it in one way is by just saying, well, what if you're a digital church with a physical presence? What if everything you did leveraged digital and media and technology, and not to the detriment or to the exclusion of physical gathering and physical ministry, but what if you led with digital? How would that look? And that's been an interesting thing with those we've been able to share with and partner with, to have them think through just that dynamic and how that has changed and is continuing to change.
That's a very radical approach for leaders over at a certain age, whereas a younger leader, whether male or female, would probably embrace that quickly. You
Yeah.
must have some struggles from people on that. Go with digital and have a presence, yeah?
Oh yeah. I mean, I think it's hard for everyone because there's legitimate theological questions that people have. And then it's just such a radical paradigm change that we find that some people get it and others don't. You would think that it's age, but I might argue that it's more just there are people who are more apostolic. There are people who are entrepreneurial. There are people who are, just risk takers or are going to continue to push the barriers. They get it. They're willing to take those risks and experiment and A/B test and do that, versus others who probably are more just pastoral. And so their tendency might be to, hold those things in closer, and they feel it can be threatening, some of these changes. And so I think what we try to do, at least when we come alongside individuals or people who are struggling with this, is actually start with the theological. What is your desire? What is your driver? And then how does leveraging digital and technology and media, how does that impact that? In what ways can it enhance? And in what ways can maybe you need to say, no, this is an area we won't go through. But having that conversation and a safe place to have that conversation, we have found good results, though I, you know, not 100%. I mean, there's specific churches, and that's not really the area we lean into our churches, but there have been some that have had me come and share, and one specifically that I'm thinking of that they just decided they just can't do it. They're just not going to make that kind of a change. And I think it will make an impact in the 21st century ministry. I think their impact will diminish over time unless they wrestle through these issues.
Some leaders just can't jump over that fence. That's just the way it is, and it'll always be that way. We're talking to John Rawls, Missions Media Executive, on the Six Ways to Sunday podcast. Great to have him. This is season 5, and thank you, John, for accepting our invitation. John is based in Tennessee. How do people find you? I know that you have materials and perhaps books and resources. How can they find you or get in touch with you, John?
Well, our website is probably the easiest way to see the materials that we have. And we continue to try to really niche down, Craig. And so we're pretty specific about what we do and who we serve and what it is that we do at this point. And I think that's one of the reasons we've seen the Lord bless what we're trying to do, is by continuing to just go, okay, this is why we exist, and not trying to be everything out there. And so the website's the biggest one. We have training materials that are on there. We have a weekly newsletter. I have a podcast myself that's on, I think, episode 216, something like that, that comes out each week on Fridays, where I talk about social media marketing. So those are the easiest ways. I'm on social media, but believe it or not, I'm not too active on there, but people can reach out to me. I'm on Threads, Twitter, Facebook, all the normal places.
And Kavanaugh Media is spelled K-A-V-A-N-A-H, K-A-V-A-N-A-H Media. Just type that into Google or Bing or whatever search engine that you use, and John will pop up. Rawls is spelled R-A-L-L-S, R-A-L-L-S. And John, J-O-N. So there you go. He's on LinkedIn, as am I, and plenty of others. Threads is a great example. Oh, gosh, how many hundreds of millions of people have joined Threads? I just don't think it's probably as effective yet as Twitter/X has been, which has a longer history and deep, deep roots. But it'll find its presence.
It's interesting. It's going to be a really interesting thing because... Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think Twitter and X is at a really existential crisis point.
Yeah,
and they're going to have to figure some things out, because ad revenue drives these things. You've got to have the money there to be able to do it, and you have to have people that are on the platform and using it. Well, you know, Threads comes along and it huge start. Now it's backed off, it's cooled off, but now they're adding functionalities into it that are actually really, really good. And so we'll see. You know, Meta has a lot of money that they can throw into something like this to keep it going for quite a while. Mm-hmm. So I actually think this one has some legs to it. We're just going to have to see. I'm actually more interested in, and in our team call this morning, we were talking about this, just more of the Fediverse and just some of these things where you have people's information isn't locked down to a platform itself. So you see Mastodon or Blue Sky or some of these others, and maybe they won't survive, but the concept behind them to me is really interesting. I actually think that it has a lot of validity, and I think it's actually going to have some traction here as things move forward.
Very cool. Great time talking in this episode with John Rawls, Missions Media Executive. Join us in the next episode. We'll pick up where we left off.
You've been listening to the Six Ways to Sunday podcast with Craig D. Forrest, brought to you by Matchstick Media International, dedicated to excellence in media through inspiration, vision, and education. To learn more, visit us on the web at matchstickmedia.org. That's matchstickmedia.org. Your generous donations, large or small, help defray costs for producing this creative podcast. Thanks for listening and subscribing.